That won't even touch the top of the problem. I mean, we need to go after transportation, which is the huge, huge problem. Huge.
Hi, this is Brendan Monk. You're currently listening to WGXC ACRA, 90.7 FM, coming to you from Hudson, New York.
Figure 8 is double 4. Figure 4 is half of 8. If you skate, you would be great. If you could make a figure 8, that's a circle that turns round.
Turn out or tune into the Back Bar Saturday, March 9th for WGXC's 8th anniversary. Coming soon to the Back Bar in Hudson and live on the radio at 90.7 FM. March 9th, WGXC turns 8.
WGXC 90.7 FM, Aqua, Catskill, Hudson, New York, 90.7 FM. Listeners reported. It's radio for open ears, open heart, open hands, and open mind. We give thanks again to you for supporting WGXC all through the years, and I hope that you stay with us.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518- 622-9829.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. WPIX-TV in New York is reporting the death of 24-year-old Anthony Myrie from Brooklyn on February 11th at Greene Correctional Facility is now being investigated by the New York State Police. The station is reporting that Myrie's wife, Sadie Myrie, spoke with her husband just hours before his death, then later learned he had been placed in solitary confinement. She was then contacted and told he was in critical condition. Prison officials say only that Myrie died following, and I quote, an altercation with other inmates, end quote. David Hernandez, the family attorney, said they have been given several inconsistent stories. Hernandez said he was told, and I quote, first he was in the box, then he wasn't. He was involved in some sort of altercation. No, there was no altercation, end quote. Hernandez said Myrie's body is now located at a Brooklyn funeral home and an independent autopsy will be performed February 16th. The state police are in the process of interviewing corrections officers inside the prison in addition to anyone else who may have seen Myrie before his death. Greene Correctional is a medium-security state prison located in Coxsackie. The facility, located near the maximum-security Coxsackie Correctional Facility, has the capacity to house more than 1,800 men. Read the full story at PIX11.com. Emilia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia Paper. The Ichabod Crane School Board heard an update on the district's $27 million capital improvement project earlier this month. Representatives from CSARCH, the project designer, and Turner Construction attended the board's February 5th meeting and provided the report. In December, voters approved the board's proposal to spend $27 million on upgrades to all three school buildings, as well as projects around the campus. Ed Anker, a representative of CSARCH, said his group has been regularly meeting with the groups in the district and just received the results of a space survey taken by school staff. Anker said his firm will be working on project designs through the end of August. Once finalized, those plans must be approved by the State Education Department, which could take up to 6 months. Anker told the board his company was well aware of the potential delays, but assured them there are ways to work around the SED bottleneck. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. The Greenville Pioneer is reporting the Greenville School District has established a scholarship in memory of the late Donna Acousti, the district's assistant superintendent. Acousti died January 15th at the age of 55. Superintendent Tammy Sutherland said, and I quote, "Donna was more than a respected colleague to the faculty and staff of Greenville Central School District. She was a deeply caring friend. Donna modeled the respect and care we all seek to embody, constantly asking about the events and people that mattered to each person," end quote. Sutherland acknowledged Acousti's 20 years of service to the children of the Hudson City School District and her leadership role within the Greenville Central School District. She said, and I quote, "Her laughter, genuine interest, and compassion were constantly present within her relationships. Donna's daily presence will be missed, but her influence will remain," end quote. The Donna Acousti Scholarship will be awarded to a graduating Greenville senior every year based on their profound care for others and interest in the service of teaching. Read the full story in the Greenville Pioneer. David Lombardo is reporting for Capital Confidential. State lawmakers have adopted a measure that would lower the threshold for candidates in local elections to make the ballot this year. The action was in response to a new law that moved state and local primaries from September to June. The accelerated election timeline means candidates for local offices like village, town, or city races will have to start collecting signatures this month, 4 months earlier than usual. And it could mean that campaign volunteers will have to battle the winter weather and limited daylight to collect signatures. The legislation must still be sent to the governor for his approval. The petition process begins February 26. Read the full story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a mostly sunny Sunday with a high near 31 and a low around 22, with snow possible Sunday night and into Monday morning. 1 to 3 inches is predicted. Monday there should be a high near 31 and a low around 11. Then Tuesday should be sunny with a high of 26 and a low around 10. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears. Tune into Radio for Open Ears. Sunday, February 10th, Neva Wartell's taking requests on the Music for the Masses show from 1 to 3 p.m. on the radio at 90.7 FM. Tony Fallon is at live in Acre at 8 p.m. with the Irish show on 90.7 WGXC and WGXC.org.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Books we're reading, bookish things,
mm-hmm.
All that good stuff. And today, we want to talk about one of our favorite library bookish programs of the year, the Battle of the Books.
Yay!
Yay! This is a annual program for middle school and high school youth that is a regional program with teams from various libraries across the Mid-Hudson Library System in Columbia, Green, Dutchess, Ulster, and Putnam counties. And we have a team here in Hudson. I know there's some other teams throughout Columbia County. Mm-hmm. And Amelia's been on a Hudson team for maybe 5 years or so?
I think so.
Because you did a number of years on the middle grade, middle school team.
Yeah.
And now you're a high schooler, so you're on the teen team now.
Mm-hmm.
So every summer, tweens and teens read select books that have been chosen by librarians from across the system as the battle books. And they get together at a battle and answer trivia questions about the books.
It's so much fun.
And the teen battle is a little extra hard, I think, because the questions are not just in which book did blank happen, where the answer is the title of a book, but there's also trivia questions like, in book A, what color toothbrush did the person use?
Yeah.
Very tricky stuff. But you all seem to remember a lot. You have good recall. Mm-hmm. And so this year we're going to talk about the teen battle today because that's the team that Amelia is on.
Yeah.
So there are 5 books that were chosen for the 2019 Teen Battle of the Books, which is taking place in August right here in Columbia County at Columbia Green Community College. And so there's 5 books that Amelia and I and the members of our team will be reading over the summer and then go into trivia battle over.
Yeah.
So what's the first book you want to share?
The first book here, and my mom's actually currently reading this book, so I thought it was interesting.
Cool.
Is called One of Us is Lying by Karen McManus. The Breakfast Club meets Pretty Little Liars. One of Us is Lying is the story of what happens when 5 strangers walk into detention and only 4 walk out alive. Everyone is a suspect and everyone has something to hide. Pay close attention and you might solve this. On Monday afternoon, 5 students at Bayview High walk into detention. Bronwyn, the brain, is Yale-bound and never breaks a rule. Addie, the beauty, is the picture-perfect homecoming princess. Nate, the criminal, is already on probation for dealing. Cooper, the athlete, is the all-star baseball pitcher. And Simon, the outcast, is the creator of Bayview High's notorious gossip app. Only Simon never makes it out of that classroom. Before the end of detention, Simon's dead. And according to investigators, his death wasn't an accident. On Monday, he died, but on Tuesday, he'd planned to post juicy reveals about all 4 of his high-profile classmates, which makes all 4 of them suspects in his murder. Or are they the perfect
patsies.
Patsies. For a killer who's still on the loose. Everyone has secrets, right? What really matters is how far you would go to protect them. That word should have been easy, but just something about it was just like, what?
Yeah, it's a funny looking word, patsies. Mm. Yeah, that book is really fun. I wouldn't say it was like the book written for me, but I was listening to that audiobook over the summer and I just could not stop listening. I wanted to know what happened and know if my guess was right. And
I love books
really
that
fun.
Have lists of stuff in their descriptions, like character A, the blank. I love those kinds of descriptions.
Oh, I feel like there's another book that's kind of like that in our our selection.
That's
here.
How you immediately intrigue me, and I see the book you're talking about now.
We'll get to that in a little bit. So that's the first book. The next book is Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe by Benjamin Alire Sens. Aristotle is an angry teen with a brother in prison. Dante is a know-it-all who has an unusual way of looking at the world. When the two meet at the swimming pool, they seem to have nothing in common. But as the loners start spending time together, they discover that they share a special friendship, the kind that changes lives and lasts a lifetime. And it is through this friendship that Ari and Dante will learn the most important truths about themselves and the kind of people they want to be. This book was very nice. I think it was up for consideration for last year's battle and just missed out, and I'm glad it's being included this year. It's a book that had been on my to-read list ever since it came out, which I think was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And then a teen that uses the library a lot, when he found out that I had not read this book, was shocked. And I was like, you have to read it. It's so good. And so I finally did. It was wonderful.
I heard a lot of people say good things about this book.
Yeah, actually, at last year's Battle of the Books, we were talking with another teen team, and this was the book that they were like, this has to be the book for next year.
Yeah,
because we asked them if there's any books they suggest.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
And they screamed it at us in unison.
Yeah. So, that was awesome.
I had told them I would fight for this book, but luckily I didn't have to fight. There was no fighting involved. It just made it in. And this one's cool, too. I listened to the audio for this one as well, and it's read by Lin-Manuel Miranda. Oh my gosh. he's a very good reader. All right, so next up.
Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo. Ketterdam, a bustling hub of international trade where anything can be had for the right price. And no one knows that better than criminal prodigy Kaz Brucker. Kaz is offered a chance at a deadly heist that could make him rich beyond his wildest dreams, but he can't pull it off alone. A convict with a thirst for revenge, a sharpshooter who can't walk away from a wager, a runaway with a privileged past, a spy known as the Wraith, a heartrender using her magic to survive the slums, a thief with a gift for unlikely escapes. Six dangerous outcasts, one impossible heist. Kaz's crew is the only thing that might stand between the world and destruction if they don't kill each other first. It has a list. Ooh, this one sounds cool.
It was pretty fun. It's a bit darker than some of the other books. Although the first one was about a murder, but
yeah,
still reads relatively light. But yeah, it's definitely got some anti-heroes, you know.
I'm here for that.
It's pretty fun. And I think it hops around from different characters, which I like in a story.
Ooh, it's a young elite style thing.
Yeah, I think you're going to like it a lot.
Am I going to find my next obsession?
Perhaps. She has a lot of books. I can't remember if Six of Crows is a series. I feel like it might be. But she had a series that was very popular before that I think is set in the same world, but different characters. And then she has a new series coming out that I don't know if it's connected or not.
Is it a fantasy book or?
Yeah, I think there's some fantasy in it.
Oh,
I think there's some sort of magical stuff, but it reads kind of like an adventure story with some magic here and there.
Ooh.
Very fun. Mm-hmm. The next book is definitely some fantasy. The Darkest Part of the Forest by Holly Black. Children can have a cruel, absolute sense of justice. Children can kill a monster and feel quite proud of themselves. A girl can look at her brother and believe they're destined to be a knight and a bard who battle evil. She can believe she's found the thing she's been made for. Hazel lives with her brother Ben in the strange town of Fairfold, where humans and fae exist side by side. The fairy's seemingly harmless magic attracts tourists, but Hazel knows how dangerous they can be, and she knows how to stop them. Or she did, once. At the center of it all, there is a glass coffin in the woods. It rests right on the ground, and in it sleeps a boy with horns on his head and ears as pointed as knives. Hazel and Ben were both in love with him as children. The boy has slept there for generations, never waking, until one day he does. As the world turns upside down, Hazel tries to remember her years pretending to be a knight, but swept up in new love, shifting loyalties, and the fresh sting of betrayal. Will it be enough?
Ooh.
Mm. I have mixed feelings about fairies. How do you feel about fairies?
In, like, stories or just
stories,
overall?
Yeah.
It's a hit or miss.
Yeah.
It
same
was
for me.
It was a I don't remember what book I read once, but it was a miss in that book because they didn't do much. They were just kind of there,
just sitting around being fairies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not necessarily drawn to fairy stories, but I have read some that are very good, and I think Holly Black in general is a good author.
When
so
I was
I'm
younger,
hopeful.
I was obsessed with books regarding fairies.
Mm-hmm.
But I gave a lot of those away.
Yeah.
I don't even remember who they were by, but I loved those.
I've been reading a bunch of fairy picture books recently.
Ooh.
Because someone came into the library and was looking for fairy books. And we have a lot of chapter books that have fairies, but we didn't have that many picture books that weren't just fairy tales.
Hmm.
I did find one for them, but then I was like, we need more. So I checked out a bunch and read them, and so I could figure out some new ones to add to the collection.
Cool.
So come get your fairy fill. In the picture book section. So that's book four. So we have one more to go.
I've heard a lot about this one because I think this one got a either a TV show or a movie.
It was a
lately.
Movie.
It was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. 16-year-old Star Carter moves between two worlds, the poor neighborhood where she lives and the fanciest suburban prep school she attends. The uneasy balance between these worlds is shattered when Star witnesses the fatal shooting of her childhood best friend, Khalil, at the hands of a police officer. Khalil was unarmed. Soon afterward, his death is a national headline. Some are calling him a thug, maybe even a drug dealer and a gangbanger. Protesters are taking to the streets in Khalil's name. Some cops and the local drug lord try to intimidate Star and her family. What everyone wants to know is what really went down that night. And the only person alive who can answer that is Star. But what Star does or does not say could upend her community. It could also endanger her life.
That's a great book. It's a great movie, too. I liked it a lot.
I remember seeing the trailers for this movie, where I see most trailers for most movies on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered it. Like, I thought it was based off something like a book, and now I know.
Yeah, I'd read the book when it first came out, which I think was maybe a year or two ago. And then the movie just came out, I think, over the summer. I think it was a summer or fall movie. And it almost made it harder to watch, knowing what would happen, because you meet her friend and you get to see their connection. And he's just, they cast him really well. He's like this really sweet, like, you can see why he's her friend. And
you know what's
going to happen. And then you have to see it happen. And it's just heartbreaking. So yeah, it was a very powerful book, very powerful movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only one I haven't read from the list is The Darkest Part of the Forest by Holly Black. So got to get on that.
Yeah.
Read up. But yeah, so those are the five books for the 2019 teen battle. If anyone out there listening is interested in joining our battle team, they can reach out to me at the library.
Yep.
Hudson Area Library. info@hudsonarealibrary.org.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of other teams in the area. I think Kinderhook, Chatham, maybe Claverick have teams. I can't remember who has a teen team versus a middle grade team. But if you don't live in Hudson or would prefer to be on your home turf for your team, reach out to your library and see if they have a team and they can get you lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, never too early to start reading. I think your mom's already started reading from the list, actually.
Yeah, that was the She's one I ready. Was talking about.
Be cool if the parents could have a battle, too. I think
cool.
A lot of the parents read the books.
Mm-hmm.
Or the coaches.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun, but then we'd have to make so many more questions.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work writing all those trivia questions. But yeah, so I have a question for you.
Yeah?
Since you've done the battle for many years, what are some of the most memorable titles from your time on Battle of the Books?
Whether see, middle gonna, grade I'm going to not team? Start with my favorites for once to try and like break the pattern okay. of me gushing about young elites. But I remember the 14th Goldfish just because of how odd it was. It was like written like a normal like tween to teen like YA book, but like had like this weird like sci-fi element thrown in with this girl's grandfather finding a way to de-age himself back to her age, and then him trying to like talk to his daughter, her mom, and try to get through like high school when he is like has the mind of a 70-something year old man. And it was very strange, and I can't quite remember how it ended. I think he like moves away or something, but that one I remember. I remember reading it in my living room downstairs and just wondering what was going on.
That's fun.
I think that was the same year we had Young Elites.
I don't know.
Maybe. I'm not sure. But I loved the Young Elites, the first book in that series, and I went on to read the other two, and they were really, really good.
By Marie Lu?
Yes.
What's that series about?
It's about this girl named Adelina, who lives in this world where a plague hit one day. And killed a good portion of the population, while the rest were left marked or cursed in the eyes of the rest of the population, the ones who survived. So everyone has a different mark, and some of them managed to inherit powers. And those ones, the even fewer that got powers and survived, are called the Young Elites. So the marks are like can be on the skin. Like this one girl has a burgundy mark on her face, and she can control animals. The main character has white hair and can control illusions, and it just goes on from there, and it's very, very good.
Cool. One of my favorites and most memorable ones was Through the Woods by Emily Carroll, which was a book for I think it was for the middle grade battle a couple years back, maybe a few years back. And it's a graphic novel short story collection that all has sort of creepy tales that involve the woods, like
That's
going
cool.
through the woods.
They had a short story collection in there. I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it was short stories and it was a graphic novel.
I
so
think I
it made it
remembered.
Challenging as a one of the, you know, librarians that works on the program to write questions for it.
Yeah.
Because you had to like make it not so hard that people couldn't answer it, but hard enough that it wasn't obvious, and it was hard to know like what people would respond to visually. I think that was the first graphic novel we ever did for the battle.
Oh,
I think that was
yeah,
before you were
I remember
in the
graphic novels. I remember the first year I ever joined, they did Nimona.
I love Nimona.
And I got that for Christmas a couple years back, and it's so good. It's
yeah.
such a good comic.
We don't get to do comics very often because they are really challenging to make questions for.
Aww.
But yeah, Nimona and Through the Woods were two of my favorite battle books of all times as well.
Mm-hmm. I remember Nimona, and I also remember Leviathan, I think it was called.
Oh yeah,
with the semi-living alive airships,
mm-hmm,
that are also like they're during like one of the world wars organisms. Right? Yeah, they have, like, these giant jellyfish that they ride through the air, and I remember that. And I don't remember the plot very well. I know that there's a prince, and there's a girl who cross-dresses in order to join the Air Force,
mm-hmm,
and that is all I remember.
And another one of our probably more, I think you would agree with me, that one of the more memorable Battle of the Books books was Unwind by Neil Schusterman.
Oh, how could I forget?
It's so good.
I recently
and
found
so
that.
Disturbing.
I recently found that in one of my ELA teachers in our schools, one of our teachers' bookshelves, because another ELA class that I'm not in reads it for an assignment, and my friend had read it, and I think I was saying this last week too, like, did you get to the part? Did you get to the chapter yet? And we both, like, picked it up and just skipped that chapter and read it and just, like, shared in mutual, like, disturbance for a little while.
Yeah.
I forgot how messed up that one part was.
That was a book for the middle grade battle, and I'm...
Wasn't
I
it
think
like
it could
some...
have been a teen battle it, book, although we didn't have a teen
have.
Battle yet. But it was, you know, geared more towards the older kids in the middle
oh, yeah.
grade, you know.
Yeah.
Because the middle grade one is for kids entering grade 6 to 9 the following fall.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the readers were entering high school. So yeah. I think it was a good fit. I mean, you all loved it
mm-hmm.
as much as it was disturbing.
We read that when we were still back in the old library, too, because mm-hmm. I remember reading it in the little, like, cubbies that would be in the little kids' section of the library, just in the corner.
Yeah. Other books I've loved. We did a number of years ago, Scorpio Races by Maggie Stiefvater, which was very fun. I think that was before you were in battle.
We read another book by Maggie
yeah,
Stiefvater
what was the other
last
one we read
year.
By
it
her.
Was called, what was it called? It had the main character named Blue.
Oh, yeah. Stiefvater.
Yeah, she was.
We found a video where she
were psychic.
sang a song about how to say her name.
It was very funny.
Steve, like the name. Otter, like the animal. Steve Otter.
That was such a funny movie.
But yeah, Maggie Steve Otter. Yeah, what was the book that we read by her
recently?
Oh my gosh,
recently? What was it called? I can't believe it. The Raven Boys.
Oh, The Raven Boys. I liked that one too.
Yeah, that one's
she's a good author.
Series. I mm-hmm. wasn't very fond of that one.
I think your mom really liked it though and read the
yeah,
whole series.
She did.
Scorpio Races is a standalone and it's set on a fictional island where every year there is a horse race, but they're horses from the sea. It feels funny not calling them seahorses because it
Ooh.
Looks like they're little little seahorses, but they're like horses that are kind of these wild animals that come from the sea. And every year people die in this horse race. And
oh.
it's like whoever survives basically is the winner. And there's two main characters that are both in the race this year. One is a young woman who's in the race because she needs money for her family because she's their orphans and she's helping raise her family. So she really needs to win. And it's the first time a woman has ever been in the race.
The Hunger Games meets Saratoga.
And then the young man is somebody who really cares for one of the horses that he's sort of, he works for some wealthy guy that has a bunch of horses that races. And he is told that if he wins the race, that he gets to keep this horse that he loves. So that's sort of his incentive for winning the race. And it's very good. And it goes back and forth between the characters, which I mentioned earlier that I like. Mm. So
We love those.
Yeah. I think what other books I've loved. I really loved Bone Gap, but I don't think I could tell you what it's about.
I haven't read it.
I have
so
like
I
very
have no idea.
Vivid memories of it, like visual memories of scenes from it, but I don't think I could tell you the plot of the story.
Yeah.
Which is funny, but I really liked that one. And what was the other one that I read recently that I really liked? I'm blanking. Oh, it wasn't recent. I also really loved I Hunt Killers by Barry Liga.
Oh, I remember that one.
Which is about a young man whose dad was a notorious serial killer who was caught and is in prison. And he lives in this small town where he lives with his grandmother. He has a best friend and a girlfriend who are kind of his crew. And he's pretty close with the sheriff in town, who kind of keeps an eye out for him because his grandmother can't really do that. And all of a sudden, bodies start showing up in town that